Now, the law firm Hogan Lovells appeared before Parliament's Standing Committee on Finance earlier today to explain the extent of the investigations into SARS official Jonas Makwakwa and his partner and fellow SARS employee Kellyanne Elksey after the Financial Intelligence Centre flagged suspicious transactions in their accounts. SARS Commissioner Tom Moyani also appeared before the committee. Hogan Lovells chairperson Lavery Modise confirmed the scope of the law firm's inquiry into Makwakwa was centred on whether he was guilty of misconduct as an employee. He stated that Hogan Lovells has not exonerated Makwakwa of any charges because of the investigations that are still pending. He reiterated that his and Hogan Lovells' involvement has been limited. Modise also stated that it's not true that Hogan Lovells has acted to shield Makwakwa. In fact, he is confident that Hogan Lovells has acted with propriety throughout the process. I'm now joined on the line by the DA's Shadow Deputy Minister of Finance and Member of the Standing Committee on Finance, Mr. Alf Lees. Mr. Lees, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Karima. Nice to be with you.
Now, when we last spoke, both you and Mr. Yunus Karim, the chair of the Finance Committee, of course, chatted with me about this. And what was at issue at the time was, of course, the fact that SARS had refused to share with you the report that led to Mr. Makwakwa being reinstated. And both of you went to great lengths to say that you are not looking into the guilt or innocence of Mr. Makwakwa. Tell us what exactly Hogan Lovells came to do at Parliament today, Mr. Lees.
Karima, yeah, Hogan Lovells did seem to come simply to look after their reputation rather than anything else. And they may well have been restricted by law in providing anything of substance to the committee. But what they did reveal or inform the committee about was that their investigation had been restricted, as you've just said, to misconduct in terms of the employment contract. So the question of whether or not there was any criminal activity in terms of money laundering or anything like that was not part of the investigation, nor was the question of whether there were any tax evasion or violations of the Tax Administration Act carried out by Mr. Makwakwa. So really, at the end of the day, it was a bit of a damn squib in a sense, because we managed to get out of Mr. Modise the fact that Mr. Makwakwa arrived with his attorneys and really was not a very cooperative participant in the process.
Which brings me to the question. I mean, Mr. Modise went to great lengths to say that there's client-attorney privilege between himself and SARS, and proceeded to tell Parliament that he's not at liberty to tell you what the nature of the brief was between him and SARS. First of all, Mr. Lees, I want to ask whether parliamentary privilege doesn't trump a relationship that Mr. Modise is referring to. That's the one thing. And then secondly, it appears as if no one is actually investigating Mr. Makwakwa off the back of the warnings given by FIC.
Yeah, the parliamentary privilege gives members of parliament privilege. So I would have that advantage. The issue really would be, if parliament requires information, then normally there's no option. You are required to give that information to parliament, except, obviously, under certain circumstances. Now, Hogan Lovells are arguing that their client relationship is a privileged relationship and therefore they can't give it. But in this case, the client is SARS.
This is the point.
Not a private individual.
Absolutely. And, of course, Parliament has oversight over SARS.
Exactly. Exactly. So, at the end, one could take this to court and get a a decision, a precedent set. But I mean, really, we shouldn't be doing this. There's an issue that's in the public domain. It's destroying the credibility of SARS. It really should be up to the commissioner to say, listen, here are the facts. There's nothing to this issue, or yes, there is, and this is the action we've taken. And get on with it.
But Mr. Lees, it's very clear that Mr. Moyani is going to go to extraordinary lengths to not tell you a single thing. You are considering court action. Take us through what it would require for the committee to take that action. And isn't it important and urgent that you do so with haste?
Look, I certainly feel that there is an urgency and a need to do this. The committee, though, is still of the opinion that some kind of agreement between legal counsel, so representing Parliament, Hogan, Lavelle, SARS, can come to some kind of agreement on this. I don't think that's going to happen, but they have been asked to get on with it. So Eunice did say that they must start this at latest on Friday and get this done. I suggest that that's not going to be a satisfactory arrangement in the end, because there's some vested interests here. And therefore, I'm hoping that we can convince the committee to ask the Speaker of Parliament to refer the matter to the right court, I presume the High Court, given that's what's referred to in the Tax Administration Act. And get a court order for these reports to be released, so we can deal with it if no one else is dealing with it.
You know, subsequent to me speaking to you and to Mr. Karim, I also had the Hawk spokesperson and the persons speaking on behalf of SARS on this matter, Mr. Luther Labello, on the show.
Yes,
and
yes.
What the Hawks confirmed were a few things. The Hawks confirmed that the organized or rather commercial crimes unit was dealing with the matter. They also indicated that they have been in conversation with the National Prosecuting Authority on the matter. What Mr. Labello couldn't tell me was the extent to which SARS has been pursuing the Hawks to give them updates on how far the investigation is. Safe to refer to the Hawks every time I required an answer on whether they are sure that Mr. Makwakwa is, you know, above and beyond reproach. What I want to establish, Mr. Lees, is what exactly can the committee say with certainty about Mr. Makwakwa subsequent to the FIC alerting SARS that there were suspicious activities and into the account of Mr. Makwakwa and his colleague?
Look, we can't say anything with certainty because we've not given any supporting evidence. So we can only go on what we're told. Now, what we have been told and what we established today was that the transactions which were ad hoc transactions between SARS and Makwakwa were investigated by Hogan Lavelle's with the assistance of PricewaterhouseCoopers, and they got an explanation from Makwakwa for all those transactions. And that was a satisfactory explanation. But then Hogan Lavelle's were at pains to inform us that they were not able to get any copies of bank statements from Mr. Makwakwa, and they simply had to take his word for the as explanations for these transactions. One explanation, apparently, that surprisingly the commissioner told the committee, was that the one transaction was a donation to Makwakwa by his mother.
And how extraordinary!
That is extraordinary, and that they were going to check whether his mother had paid donations tax. Well, as I pointed out, it was in a prior tax year, so it would have taken no more than 15 minutes or 20 minutes for SARS to go on to that tax return of the mother to see whether it was declared and to see whether any donations tax was paid. To come to Parliament and say, well, they're going to do this, was extraordinary.
So, now, I put it to Mr. Lebello the last time that PRECA actually enables SARS to investigate themselves as an institution any financial crime, alleged financial crime. And if Mr. Makwakwa was alleged to have committed any crime, that they were within their full rights to not outsource it to anyone, whether it's the Hawks or Hogan Lovells. Yes. They could do it themselves. Did the committee tell Mr. Moyane this? And if so, what was his answer?
Karima, I had similar thoughts, but then I kind of agreed that it might have been foreseen as being a cover-up if SARS had done it themselves and nothing had come out of it. So I think it probably was not a bad thing to bring in an independent party to do that. But if that is the case, if I'm right, then that independent party should have had full access to Makwakwa's bank statements, to the records on SARS, et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't appear that that was the case. Although, again, I say to you, we don't get reports. We don't know the real facts in these matters. So we have to try and extract it as we go along. To be honest with you, I don't know if you were able to watch, but the obfuscation that took place from the SARS official side was really very, very frustrating to all of us on the committee. And I'm not being partisan about that. I really mean, there might have been one person who didn't find it strange, but it was across party lines. Let me just put it that way.
No, it was so obvious for everybody to see. I did watch it. And, of course, Mr. Moyane had a very thin skin today. He took offense at just about everything and almost behaved as if he was doing Parliament a favor by accounting to the institution. What I want to establish, Mr. Lees, is at what point does the committee make a call about the manner in which SARS is behaving with regards to providing you with the correct information, with giving you full access, which you have every right to because you have oversight as the legislature. And if you don't get that, what are you going to do legally to compel them to do what they are required to do by law?
Karina, unfortunately, the matter has kind of been pushed down the line a bit until after the budget now, which we didn't like very much, and we expressed our concerns about that. So nothing much is going to now happen until after the budget, when SARS will come back, and by then, presumably, there will be some outcome from this tete a tete between legal representatives. Now, if there's then agreement and the reports are given to us, well, great. Then we'll be able to move forward and do the oversight of which you speak. If it doesn't, then I think we're going to have to try and convince the rest of the committee to petition the Speaker to take the matter to court. I mean, there really does not seem any other option if that's the case. What I have done today is I have written to the Minister of Finance to express our concerns about the process and asking him whether he's happy about the way it's being handled by SARS, and if not, what he can do as the minister, given that SARS is a National Treasury Minister of Finance entity. And he must have some further ability there to influence how it operates. We know that Praveen Gordhan didn't succeed with Mr. Moyane, but perhaps the relationship between Moyane and Kigabe is such that he may achieve something. So I've done that. I have done that later. as well.
Mr. Lees, have you considered the option of writing to Hogan Lovells? Because what we have here is Hogan Lovells clearing Mr. Makwakwa without seeing and having access to his bank account. So clearly, that can't be a conclusive process. And one would then need to understand the basis on which they've cleared Mr. Makwakwa. Hogan Lovells is an international firm, the way KPMG was, the way McKinsey is. Are you considering to write to the international counterparts to insist that the South African section comes clean? Because if one considers the way in which KPMG and SARS behaved around the so-called rogue unit and the specific role in state capture, are you not fearing that one could be seeing the same MO here? And would you consider engaging Hogan Lovells at an international level to get to the bottom of this?
Look, Karina, I think it's certainly an option, but we haven't at this stage considered doing that before we've explored all the options that are available to us, but we're getting pretty close to that. And so it is something that I'm going to have to put to our people and get an opinion on it. But I think it's something that we certainly must look at, and I agree. It does seem very similar to the modus operandi of KPMG.
Now, obviously, the behavior of SARS with regards to providing information, providing clarity, and not hiding behind, client confidentiality, and trying to do just about everything to prevent the committee from getting to the details of the matter, obviously has an impact on the credibility of the revenue institution itself. What is the committee and your view on how this, needs to be handled? Because presumably one would want South Africans to believe in its tax institutions. If you have a tax revolt on your hand, if you have a situation where people do not believe in the integrity of the tax institution, you have a very big problem in your economy.
Absolutely. I think the economic downturn has certainly contributed to the drop in revenue. But no one, I don't think, can discount the possibility of the tax morality being affected by the damage that's currently being done to the reputation of SARS. And I think that is absolutely critical as we go forward. And really, there's such an easy way to fix it. The easy way is to put this stuff in the public domain and say, yes, this is the problem. This is the action we've taken. They would do their reputation enormous good if they were able to do that or prepared to do that. It's not like we're rushing them. It's not it's May 2016. So it's more than 18 months that they've had to deal with this matter. And yet they haven't even, the PwC is still investigating whether there were any tax evasion issues involved here, 18 months later. So the reputation of the institution has been severely affected by this. It could have been resolved a long time ago, and instead of damaging the reputation, it could have built the reputation when taxpayers and all of us in South Africa see that SARS take very strong and robust action. If there is an issue, we still don't know whether there's an issue, despite it being 18 months down the road.
Now, when I spoke with Brigadier Mulaudzi from the Hawks, he confirmed that the matter was handed over to the Commercial Crimes Unit, that they've discussed with the NPA. Is the committee of the view that the Hawks need to come to Parliament to come and give you an indication of just where their investigation is at? Because whenever one refers or asks SARS where these matters are at, they refer us to the Hawks. And of course, because you are an oversight institution, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, I do speak under correction, I'm assuming that you can call the Hawks. Are you considering it?
Yes, indeed. We can call the Hawks, and we have called the Hawks in the recent past, not very long ago. But so that is definitely on the cards, and it's becoming more of the routine in the committee to ask the Hawks to report on cases such as this, where there is a narrative out, and I think it's not just a narrative; it's fact that people seem to get away with things and never get taken to the ultimate step of being convicted and go to jail if that's the sentence or whatever the sentence is. So it certainly is something that the committee is seized with. It has done it and is likely to do it again in this particular instance. But you see, the other thing that we think is really, and I think the committee would agree with us, is that when Mr. Makwakwa was suspended in September of 2016, 15th of September, I think it's there were no charges or no investigations taking place at that point. There were no convictions. There was nothing. But he was suspended.
Mm.
He was suspended on the basis, I think, we understand, of the FIC. Now, some year later, 14 months later, we're being told he can't be suspended because that would be in violation of his labor rights or his employment rights because, you know, the investigation hasn't been finalized. Well, then on what basis was he suspended in September last year? So there's so many questions with so few answers at the moment.
I mean, it's hard to not come to the conclusion that SARS at best is obfuscating, at worst is outright lying and misleading Parliament.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the kind of reasonable conclusion to come to as a layman and even myself, I suppose, as a member of Parliament. And so we can't be blamed for coming to those conclusions if we're not given the information, whatever that might be. I mean, it could well be, Karina, that Mr. Makwakwa is completely innocent of anything at all, which I would find very difficult to understand. Let's just look at his disclosure of external business interests, I think is the wording. He was eventually charged for not disclosing, presumably to his employer, SARS, external business interests. Now, suddenly, he was then, those charges were found to be unfounded. So what are we being told? That he had disclosed them, but Hogan Lovells didn't know he had disclosed them? Or doesn't he have external business interests? Well, then where did the $480,000 from the Department of Water Affairs come? How did that come into his account via BizWorks Fire or something? So you know, it's not an unreasonable conclusion to come to, Karina, I don't think. But it might be an incorrect conclusion, I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say to you. It's not unreasonable, but it may be incorrect.
Yes. Mr. Lees, for our listeners, perhaps just explain the Financial Intelligence Center. Where is it located? And why is it important to take very seriously this institution when it flags instances of activities in people's accounts, least of all people as senior as Mr. Makwakwa in an institution such as the South African Revenue Services?
Karima, yeah, it's an agency or an entity which is set up to receive reports of suspicious transactions from banks and financial institutions. So they're the kind of hold or post box for these. They come in. The Financial Intelligence Center themselves don't do the investigations. They will look at them and then pass them on to the relevant authority. So they really are a critical institution, being the repository of these reports from financial institutions. Financial institutions themselves have built up really quite excellent systems of identifying these so-called suspicious transactions. And they will have a system that gets enhanced for people like myself as a member of parliament, for Mr. Makwakwa, who serves as a senior manager at SARS. So we get a greater degree of surveillance, perhaps, than Karima Bhan does. Nevertheless, your account will still be surveyed. It's not just restricted to us, but certainly we get a very close look at. So it's not surprising that someone like Mr. Makwakwa was reported and then passed on to SARS and then to the Hawks. So it is really in the chain of trying to get on top of money laundering, of the proceeds of money from the proceeds of crime, crime being things like corruption, not just, you know, holding up a bank with a gun. Financial crime is rampant in South Africa. So it's a critical instrument to try and prevent that sort of crime, that financial crime, corruption that takes place in our society.
I think the reason why I asked you to explain it is because one would assume, considering what you've just said, that there's almost implicit trust among all of these institutions that they serve the same purpose, which is, of course, to ensure that those who are entrusted with managing the public purse and the public fiscus, right from Treasury through to various government departments, to your tax collection services, that whoever works there are people whose reputations are above and beyond reproach. So one would not assume that there'd be antagonistic relationships, but that there would actually be, a sense of a similar purpose and people working toward the same objective. And the reason why I'm putting this to you, Mr. Lees, is because I have read that when FIC came to SARS and alerted them, there was quite a lot of hostility between SARS and FIC over what FIC had noticed in relation to Mr. Makwakwa's accounts.
Look, I'm afraid you're right there. That came out in the meeting last week where the commissioner felt that the protocols hadn't been properly followed and that he wasn't approached in a way that was appropriate for him in his position, and so there was a kind of a bit of hostility about that. But nevertheless, I think it's a good indication that despite Mr. Makwakwa being a very senior manager at SARS, and Mr. Moriani gets angry when we suggest he's number two to number one, but nevertheless, very senior, that the FIC didn't hesitate to raise the alarm. And I think that's showing the robustness of our system. It would be a sad day if the FIC and SARS and these institutions just slowly all got captured by people with ulterior motives.
Yeah.
But that's not the case at the moment, I don't think, and it's certainly in many cases proving that it's not the case.
All right, that is, of course, where we will leave it. That is Mr. Alf Lees. He is the DA Shadow Deputy Finance Minister and also a member of the Standing Committee on Finance, speaking to us around the Makwakwa saga. The committee is considering going to court to force SARS to make public the information that led to Mr. Makwakwa being back into his job.